Hey, welcome back to Haunted Haze. I'm Josh.
I'm Kristen.
And this is episode 43.
Yep, and this episode is going to be a little hard to stomach for some people.
Yeah, it's not for the queasy.
No. We're definitely talking about cannibalism.
Yeah. Which, eating of another person's flesh.
That's so scary to me that movies that involve cannibalism, I just can't really watch. It gives me such bad nightmares.
Right?
I don't know why. Like, that's just one of those things for me that I just can't deal with.
It's a scary thought. It's also scary that there's so many of these serial killers that in real life wanted to eat their victims.
Or secretly sold their victims' meat on the side of the road.
Yes. So, as we will find out.
It's really creepy, and I hope I never come across somebody like that.
Yeah, well, you'll only know it once, right, I guess?
I don't know. I think about that sometimes. They should make a Netflix series about this. People who survive serial killers.
Ooh,
is that might not? That seems like it must already be a show.
Are we not too fucking obsessed with like the serial killer thing though? Like,
yeah.
I think everybody's getting a little, whoa.
The only thing is I've seen a lot of people be upset about people wearing Jeffrey Dahmer Halloween costumes.
Well,
and I can see that it's not cool, but I also think it's funny in a way-ish. It's just a scarier costume.
Right, that's the whole point of it. It's name a scarier costume.
Right, you're just being scary for Halloween.
Yeah,
and if you know anything about Josh, he has to be something scary for Halloween.
Yeah, I'm adamant about being a scary thing.
Yeah, so
costume-wise,
it's really limiting when you want to do couples costumes. There's only so many horror themes you can do.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, couples costumes isn't exactly what I want to do for Halloween.
No, my list of Halloween costumes is extensive.
Do you not feel like we do a couple's costume every day? I mean, really, if you think about it.
Husband and wife?
Yeah.
That's a kid.
We're Barbie just and Ken.
Okay. Maybe in another dimension.
Yeah, we're like Cain and Abel.
I'd rather be like Kane and the Undertaker.
Yeah, there we go. It's perfect.
That's way cooler.
That's exactly what we were. Yeah. Well, anyway, that got sidetracked.
Yeah, for sure. I hope that you can stomach today's episode and get through it.
Yeah, for sure. And as always, we encourage everyone to get their sage.
Oh, yeah. You got to get the vibes right.
We got the vibes right, right? We got
for
the
sure.
candle lit.
We got all of the good
sitting
vibes
by
sitting here.
Candlelight.
Yes, we
telling
are.
Telling spooky tales at night.
Wow.
Giving you a fright. I can just go on forever.
Okay, well, real quick, I wanted to go through our movies for the week. Continuing our Halloween movie marathon.
For sure, we've still been trying. It's fall festivities.
It is.
A lot's going on, so we kind of got behind on it, so apologize to anyone who's been keeping up with it with us. We did get behind, but hopefully we made up for it.
For sure, because it is hard to dedicate time to watch a movie every single night. Sometimes, when you live
there's
life.
There's so much going on in October.
There is so much. So, anyway, for Monster Monday, we went with Pumpkinhead.
Yes.
Such a good one.
That movie scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. Like, I think maybe that's one of the scariest movies, but it's also because I have a nostalgia about it.
Right. Because I don't really feel like it's all that scary, but I like it a lot. I mean, it's scary.
Six?
I would have died if I watched that when I was six. I would have never even considered that to be a movie I could possibly sit through. Speaking of movies I don't consider movies I like to sit through, is for Terrifying Tuesday, we went with The Hills Have Eyes.
Terrifying Tuesday.
I hate it.
We gotta spice up the week.
I know, but that movie gets me bad.
Really scary movie. And that is a pretty scary movie.
It's
Watch the remake, though.
I've never seen the original. All right, so
we gotta change that.
We got busy during Wednesday, Thursday, so we're combining our Wednesday, Thursday, Friday movies
to
American Werewolf in London.
Yeah.
Such a good one.
If you're going to combine all those days, I feel like we made up for it on Friday, right?
Absolutely.
Watching American Werewolf. That's one of the best ones.
It's so good. It's my favorite transition, I think.
Of a werewolf?
Yeah.
Yes, it's a great one.
It's so good.
The werewolf is cool. It's scary. There's scary parts in that movie. Like, right. It's got a little bit of everything, and that's why I thought we could combine it. So
no, I love that idea. Then for Slasher Saturday or Splatter Day.
Oh, yeah. It's just going to be...
It's just a hatchet marathon.
Hatchet marathon all day. Yeah. Also, on Saturday, we're having our Halloween party.
Oh, yeah. So excited about that.
Every year, that's all we look forward to is trying to throw our annual Halloween party.
Yeah, we can't... We're so excited. And our friends have come to be excited about it, too. Right. So
yeah.
It's just really fun.
We're trying to be the Halloween spot. We got it decorated.
Oh, we're giving out full-size candy bars, Halloween party, yeah. Decorations, costumes. Everything. Costumes.
Have you said what our costumes are?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay.
Should we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to say?
No.
Okay. We're going to... So, Josh is going to be Jason.
Yes.
And I'm going to be a Camp Crystal Lake counselor.
Yeah.
So, I got the couple's costume.
Yep, she got her couple's costume.
And Josh got his war. So, it's perfect.
It's a win-win.
It really is. I'm so excited. I can't wait. And then, finally, for Supernatural Sunday... We're doing 13 Ghosts, which I've never seen.
And that's mainly why we're watching this, just because there's some really good ghosts and some scares in that movie.
Yeah. I know, and like some of it's just like you... I feel like there's just some ghosts in that movie that are like classic, like the caged head thing.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what I'm saying.
It's like I've never seen it, but I know things of it. So yeah, I'm excited to see 13 Ghosts.
All right, so let's get into the meat and potatoes of this episode.
Oh, God.
Yeah, let's talk about all the juicy stuff. Like we said before, we're trying to keep it real. Nothing gets realer than cannibalism. So,
yeah, it's buckle up.
If you got a weak stomach,
for sure.
Grab a barf bag, I think. All right, so let's dig deep into tonight's topics. If I told you that Jeepers Creepers and Hannibal Lecter were both real?
Hannibal Lecter, I believe more the Jeepers Creepers story. To think that's real,
right?
That's super scary.
So, like we said before, we're trying to find true stories that have inspired real horror movies.
Yeah, the creep, you know, that's everybody's worst fear.
Right.
Based on a true story.
Based on a true story. And sometimes a lot of movies are, you know, flat out told, hey, this is based on a true story. But sometimes they're not as obvious.
Right. Like with Jeepers Creepers.
Right. So, let's kind of talk about Jeepers Creepers first then.
All right.
So, if you haven't seen Jeepers Creepers, it's about that monster that returns every, 23 years?
That's so funny to me. Every 23 years.
Yeah. But what was his favorite thing? He just wanted to eat the eyeballs?
Yeah, he just would get your eyes. You know, I will admit to you right now that I don't know if I've ever seen it all the way through.
Jeepers Creepers, to me, it's one of the scarier, newer-aged monster movies.
Right, and you had said, told me earlier, a really good point about Jeepers Creepers that makes it creepy is that it happens so much during the daytime.
Yeah, it's a lot of like daytime scares.
Yeah.
A lot of movies are, you know, they're trying to get the scare because it's dark.
Right.
You can't see it come around the corner. Jeepers Creepers just straight up see it.
Broad ass daylight.
Yeah, he's chasing you down. You keep that thing ready.
Yeah. First of all, that vehicle. I can barely get a car from 2005 to crank up, and you have me believe that thing's still running.
He only puts 500 miles on it every 23 years.
Very true. Where does he store it?
At that abandoned church, I imagine. All right, so anyway, if you have seen Jeepers Creepers, or if you haven't, Jeepers Creepers is one of the most scary movies in horror cinema. The main character is a demon whose face is similar to a snake and wakes up every 23 years. He haunts human beings whom he chooses by their smell.
Oh, that's even worse.
When the demon perceives a smell he likes, he won't stop himself. He eats the eyes to see, the ears to hear, the lungs to breathe.
Golly.
This demon becomes immortal during his feeding period, which lasts 23 days, and everything he eats will become a part of him. How is that a true story? Well, there's a little bit of a twist. So the true story is about a married couple who lived in Michigan in 1990. Dennis DePue was an ordinary man who loved his kind wife, but she wasn't that happy. And after asking for a divorce, Dennis lost his mind. So he took the life of his beloved wife as an act of revenge and then dumped her remains at the back of an abandoned school. So in the Jeepers Creepers film, the demon can be seen throwing the bodies of the victims behind a ruined church. There's also a very creepy scene in the movie which the two siblings observed what the mysterious demon was doing, and when he noticed them, the demon went after them.
Mm.
Remember, he's chasing them with the truck?
Yeah.
So in real life, two siblings who were road traveling noticed how Dennis DePue was throwing his wife's body away in the dumpster behind the school. But they weren't cautious enough for the man not to notice them. So Dennis was furious and began to chase them for several miles.
Oh gosh, how scary.
The police got involved and managed to catch him. But days later, Dennis took his life after the famous television show Unsolved Mysteries chose his case, remaking the scenes from one of the episodes.
Wow.
10 years later, the movie Jeepers Creepers was released, and it used some of the exact same dialogue made by the show Unsolved Mysteries.
That's hilarious.
They even used some of the same scenes where the license plates of the vehicles. They even used some of the same scenes where the siblings were playing the license plate game. That also was in Unsolved Mysteries.
That seems like really clearly that the writer for Jeepers Creepers was watching Unsolved Mysteries.
Right. So basically, it's not entirely, the guy's not actually a monster other than killing his wife and then like dumping her body. But the fact that that whole beginning chase scene in Jeepers Creepers is inspired by that.
For real. And then, you know, something else I love about Jeepers Creepers is where'd he get them personalized plates?
Oh, right. Is he standing in the DMV? I don't think so. Nah, you got the demon DMV.
You even pay a little extra for those tags?
Yeah, for sure. What did it say? Be eating you?
Oh, I thought it said. Oh, is that what it says? I thought it said Jeepers or something.
No, they thought it said beating you, like faster than you.
But oh, really it was saying be eating you.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, fortunately, that guy didn't eat anything off his wife, unlike Jeepers Creepers.
That we know of.
But that's also what Hannibal Lecter was into.
Yeah. And not only him. I'm going to tell you a story about Catherine Knight.
Ooh,
all right. Okay. She slaughtered her boyfriend and then made him into stew.
Good God. Stew, of all things.
Right. Like, if you're going to turn me into a food, don't pick stew. Don't pick something I wouldn't have eaten.
Yeah. Ass steak and lobster.
All right, most lovers' quarrel ends with an apology. But for Catherine Knight, murder and mutilation were the end result. Not only did this Australian worker stab her lover with a butcher knife at least 37 times in February of 2000, she then chopped him up, cooked him, and prepared to serve him to his own children.
Oh, God. What an evil bitch.
Even before this grisly killing, the life of Mary Catherine Knight was marked by violence and sexual abuse that only hinted at the bloodshed to come. Born on October 24th, 1955, in Tenterville, Australia, Catherine Mary Knight was the product of a scandalous affair between her mother, Barbara, and her father, Ken. Barbara was already the mother of four boys with another man, but when she met Ken through her husband, a secret rendezvous came to light, and it rocked their small conservative town.
Oh, wow.
Following this tumultuous start, Knight's chaotic childhood didn't get much better from there. Her father was a violent alcoholic who raped her mother multiple times a day, and Knight herself claims that she was sexually assaulted by several family members until the age of 11.
Wow.
How crazy is that? Just your mom is married to this man and has four kids, cheats on him, it's a scandal of the town, you're born, and that man's still a piece of shit.
Because he comes out and rapes you?
Like, the guy she left him for must be like, you did it to yourself, bitch. In school, Knight was known as a bully who terrorized smaller children. And without ever learning how to read or write, she quit school at the age of 15 to work at a clothing factory. A year later, she landed her dream job, a slaughterhouse, cutting out the internal organs of animals.
Dream job. Wow.
You know what? I can't wait to go to the slaughterhouse today.
Good morning, honey.
Yeah.
I'm gonna cut out some guts today.
It's like that. I imagine that if you did work at a slaughterhouse, you know that episode of American Horror Stories where she was the mortician and her boyfriend wouldn't even like hug her when she came home from work because he was like the smell.
Look, I worked briefly as a
butcher.
Not a butcher, but
you were a butcher.
I was a meat cutter.
But your title was butcher.
For sure.
And you were cutting meat.
I wasn't actually like butchering the whole animal or anything.
Butchers do that?
Yeah.
They kill the animal too?
I guess so. I don't know about killing it.
You mean like cutting it all up, like preparing, like cutting out the meat.
Yeah, I would
already. The meat was already cut out.
Yeah. I would just also fillet the meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you would have to, like, you would come home. I remember you'd come home with, like, blood splatter on your face.
Yeah, so that was gross. I can't imagine, like, you, like, deep cutting.
Animals,
disemboweling of animals.
Ew. Ugh. You need to boil your skin every day as soon as you get home. In the book Bloodstains, Catherine Knight, Catherine Knight said in a book, Bloodstains, that she loved her job so much that she hung her first set of butcher knives over her bed just in case she ever wanted to use them.
Wow.
And eventually she did.
And this guy didn't think anything of it?
Why does my wife want to hang these fucking knives up over the bed?
I guess I'll ask her after I'm done raping her tomorrow.
Like, this is a safe place to rape her.
Yeah.
Right by the butcher knives that she's probably a fucking pro at using.
What'd he do for a living?
Well, let's see. Maybe we'll find out. While working at the butcher shop, Knight met David Kellett, a raging we're getting mixed up. Her mother was the one getting raped.
Oh, wow.
Her mother was the one getting raped. Her dad that did the raping.
Okay.
And also was sexually assaulting her.
Yeah.
She's hanging up her new set of knives at her new independent place.
Okay.
So while she's working at the butcher shop, she meets David Kellett, a raging alcoholic, much like her father, who was prone to fistfights.
Hell yeah, brother.
Used to this kind of violence, Knight surprised her new beau when she joined him in one of his drunken scuffles. He soon realized that Knight
like,
was.
I hit back.
He soon realized that she was much more capable of doing more than a little damage with her fist. And before long, he found himself being dominated by her.
Oh, wow.
In 1974, she convinced him to marry her. He was heavily intoxicated the entire time, and her mother even warned him about her daughter's temper, saying that she had a loose screw somewhere.
Wow. Even her mother was like, you don't want to do it. You're a piece of shit too, but.
Like, look, she's missing something up there.
You can barely even stand up right now while I tell you this, but you should run.
On the night of the wedding, Knight and Kellett consummated their marriage 3 times.
Dang, 3 times the charm.
When he fell asleep, Knight wanted a 4th round and took issue with her husband's exhaustion. So she started to strangle him. Her new husband woke up and managed to fight her off of him. And even though she attempted to kill him only 1 day into their marriage, the union lasted for 10 more years.
Every day was like that, I'm sure.
Oh, it was far from perfect.
Every day was a fight.
Kellett was often unfaithful and once even left his wife and their 2 daughters in the middle of the night. After discovering one of his affairs, Knight placed their 2-month-old infant on local train tracks shortly before a train was due.
Oh my God. I'll show him by squishing this baby.
Luckily, the train did not come and the infant was spared.
Wow.
But she also threatened several people with a stolen axe. I mean, this woman was batshit.
One, how do you know an axe is stolen? It's like it still has the tag on it.
Or, like, she just went into the fucking hardware store, got an axe, and left that bitch.
This is Walmart. Please.
I will chop your ass up.
They might do that stuff over at Kmart, but not here at Walmart, all right?
And at Target, no weapons allowed.
Absolutely not.
She was diagnosed with postnatal depression after witnesses saw her violently pushing and swinging her second child in a stroller down a busy street. She spent a few months in a psychiatric hospital where she told nurses that she intended to kill a mechanic who fixed her husband's car because it made it possible for him to leave her.
Oh, wow.
Despite the threat, he took her back after she was released from the hospital, but their reunion did not last long. Knight went through a deep period of distress after Kellett finally did decide to leave her. In 1986, shortly after their breakup, Catherine Knight jumped into a whirlwind romance with David Saunders, a local miner. Within a few months, Saunders moved in with her and her two daughters. However, he kept his apartment, and Knight became incredibly jealous and suspicious about what he did when she wasn't around. Like her previous relationship, this one quickly grew toxic and violent.
I can't believe, I don't know, I guess, as a woman, you can find anybody.
Oh, I don't, yeah. The same women who are single are out there are single by choice.
Exactly. But there's always a guy that will find you attractive.
It's just because the man they want isn't available or something. Exactly. Is why they're single.
Now, a guy, you might be forced to be single for whatever reason.
Yes.
Yeah, you might just be ugly, bro.
Yeah, unfortunately, you gotta get them jokes up.
You gotta get real damn funny. Are real rich real soon.
At one point during her relationship with her new boyfriend, she slit the throat of his 2-month-old dingo puppy in front of him just to show him what she was capable of.
I could slit its throat. Get on out of here, Catherine.
All right.
What are you doing? No! Not Scooter.
Not my dingo puppy.
Not my dingo.
After she slit the puppy's throat, they actually still stayed together for a year longer and had a daughter. Shortly after the birth of their daughter,
you know what fixed this marriage? Another
kid. Another baby. Shortly after the birth of their baby, Knight attempted to kill Saunders again with a pair of scissors.
God, dude. Is that what she killed the dingo baby with? A pair of scissors?
She slit its throat. Who knows?
How could you love this more than you love me?
After she tried to kill her, after she tried to kill Saunders with a pair of scissors, she met another man, John Chillingsworth. They stayed together for 3 years and had a child together, Eric, Knight's first son. With no violent incidents ever being reported in their relationship, it ended after Chillingsworth learned that Knight was having an affair with a man named John Charles Thomas Price.
So it's okay for her to do this.
I mean, she's just, this is what, her fourth man? Like, damn. Kids, four men, well, three baby daddies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, how fucked up are these kids?
The beginning of Catherine Knight and John Price's relationship was without complications. He had two older children who lived with them and seemed to like Catherine, and he made enough money as a miner to keep her comfortable. So she was into miners. They moved in together in 1995, and things were going smoothly. However, when she suggested that they married, he declined, and she turned violent.
You realize that's like coal miners and not like underage people, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't think they were children.
You said it like she's into minors, like.
I didn't even catch that.
She's into minors. Like, yeah, she is that fucked up. But I like a 17-year-old boy.
So she turned really pissed whenever Price said he wasn't going to marry her. And she framed him for stealing things from the company he worked at and got him fired. He eventually kicked her out, but a few months later, they started seeing each other again.
See? That's his own damn fault.
This time, he refused to let her move back in, though. And according to their friends and neighbors, the violence began to escalate. In February of 2000, an argument between Price and Catherine culminated with her attempt to stab him in the chest. He took a restraining order out against her to keep him and his children safe. Towards the end of the month, Price let on that he was concerned for his safety and told coworkers that if he ever went missing, it was because Catherine killed him. On February 29th, 2000, damn, on Leap Day? Ruining Leap Day for us. John Charles Thomas Price came home to work and followed his usual routine of checking in with the neighbors before going to bed at 11 p.m. You know you're scared if you're, like, coming home from work and going and checking in.
Should we not hear acting crazy?
I'm home and I'm safe.
Okay, all right. Well, good night, guys. She's just in there crazy, huh?
Catherine came over shortly after, made herself dinner, watched TV, showered, and then went upstairs. She woke up Price, and the two had sex, and he went back to bed. Then Catherine Knight took a butcher knife from next to her bed, where she always kept them, and stabbed Price 37 times.
Wow.
According to the evidence, he woke up during the attack but could not fight her off. He succumbed to his wounds and Knight dragged his body downstairs, skinned him, hung his body from a meat hook in the living room. She then decapitated him, cut him up into pieces, and cooked him in a dish with potato, pumpkin skins, beets, zucchini, cabbage, squash, and gravy.
Mm-hmm.
She then made a dish for herself, though the half-discarded contents later found at the crime scene suggest that she couldn't finish the meal.
Oh, God.
She then laid down next to the headless, mutilated corpse of Price, took a large number of pills, and passed out. Price's co-workers heeded his warning the next morning and called police when he didn't show up for his next shift.
Wow.
Police arrived to the crime scene to find Catherine Knight Police arrived to find Catherine Knight's gruesome crime scene and immediately detained the comatose Knight. Once she woke up, she claimed to have no memory of what happened the night before. In the kitchen, police found Price's head boiling in a pot of vegetables on the stove. On the table, they found two full plates, each labeled with a name. In horror, the police realized that Knight had planned to serve John's body parts to his children.
Oh my God.
Despite her claims that she had no recollection of that night, Catherine was quickly charged with his murder. In October of 2001, her trial commenced, but did not get very far. For reasons that remain unclear, Knight changed her plea to guilty, and the judge adjourned the case without testimony. She was escorted to prison that day, and the judge ordered that her papers be marked with never to be released. For the first time in history, a woman in Australia was given a life sentence without parole.
Wow. Yeah, she needs it.
To this day, Knight nevertheless maintains her innocence and refuses to accept responsibility for her actions.
What?
She appealed her sentence before...
Who did it then?
Right. She did appeal, but it was almost immediately denied, and she's still serving her life sentence to this day at Silverwater Women's Correctional Center. I mean...
Wow.
Well, I've seen Wentworth, and I know what the prisons are like in Australia. She's not going through it that bad.
It's not the worst time?
It's not the worst, okay?
Yeah, well, that is true. Unfortunately, I imagine there is violence in women's prisons, don't get me wrong, but it's not the same level of violence, I don't think,
right,
as a man, a men's prison.
For sure.
So I do see, it's not as quite as scary.
Right.
I would imagine, but still, she deserves to be in prison. I mean,
100%. And I don't believe for one minute that she doesn't believe what happened.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember. You want to not remember
exactly
what you did. Also, I feel bad for all those kids. Hopefully they're not fucked up.
Right.
They got away from pretty much everyone in that family.
Even the dads.
Yeah.
Sounds like all of them were toxic as fuck.
Bad. Yeah. Well, there you go. I mean, so just eating people, there's a lot of crazy people out there that do this. And so we're not done. I got one more crazy story.
I almost can't handle it.
Another person.
All right. Let's
go. Who likes to eat people.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I hate eating people stories.
Hannibal Lecter vibes.
So, Joe Matheny, the killer who made his victims into burgers. So, though police only connected him to three murders, Joseph Roy Matheny... Is that how you say it? Matheny?
Matheny, I think. Matheny.
Joseph Roy Matheny claimed to have slaughtered a total of 13 victims, some of whom he allegedly turned into patties that he sold to unwitting customers on the Baltimore roadside.
Hate it.
So when the police arrested Joe Matheny for assault in December of 1996, they expected him to put up a fight. The 6'1", 450-pound lumber worker apparently had a tendency to fly off the handle. At the very least, they expected some resistance.
I mean, he's the size of the damn Big Show.
What the Big Show? What they didn't expect to hear was a detailed and upfront confession, the brutality of which shocked the police, especially when Matheny added, "I'm a very sick person." In his confession, Matheny described to the police as he viciously raped, murdered, and dismembered sex workers and people who were homeless. However, these victims just served as a substitute for his one intended victim, his runaway girlfriend. Then, Matheny confessed to his most disturbing crimes. Not only did he himself eat some of his victim's flesh, but he served it to unknowing people as well.
God, I hate it for people who ate that by mistake.
Joe Matheny had always been rough. He endured a childhood of neglect with an absent alcoholic father and a mother forced to work extra shifts to support her six children. They lived in Essex, near Baltimore, in Maryland. Not many other details are known about this, about his younger years, but his mother says he joined the Army in 1973 when he was 19, but they lost touch after that.
This is giving very much Jeffrey Dahmer vibes.
For sure. He just kept drifting further and further away. I think the worst thing that ever happened to him was the drugs. It's a sad, sad story, she said. Upon leaving the Army, Matheny worked blue-collar jobs in lumber yards and as a truck driver. Then came the incident that sparked his desire for revenge.
Dun, dun, dun.
In 1994, Joe Matheny was living with his girlfriend and their six-year-old son in South Baltimore. As a truck driver, he was on the road for long stints at a time. But one day, he came home to find his girlfriend gone, along with their child.
Oh no.
Like Matheny, she had a drug addiction, and Joe believed she left with another man and took to living on the streets with him.
What about the baby?
I guess she took him with her.
He's gonna live on the streets too, I guess.
Yeah, we all living on the street. Drugs. He flew into a rage. He spent days looking for them, checking halfway houses and even under a certain bridge where he knew his wife used to buy drugs.
She's under that damn bridge again.
Took her there. Under the bridge, he found not his wife, but two homeless men whom he believed knew her. When they gave no indication that they knew where his family was, he killed them both with an axe that he had brought along.
Oh my, he was ready for a fight.
Immediately afterward, Matheny allegedly noticed a fisherman nearby who could have maybe seen what he had done. Just in case he had, Matheny killed him too.
Golly.
Some people deem these first three killings as crimes of passion, though he'd later develop a taste for murder. As soon as he realized what he'd done, Matheny panicked and tossed the bodies into the river to hide the evidence. He did get some closure on his son's whereabouts, saying, "I found out about 6 months later she had moved on the other side of town with some asshole that had her out selling her ass for drugs. They got busted for drugs and they took my son away from them for child neglect and child abuse." Police arrested Matheny for the murders of the two men under the bridge, and he spent a year and a half in the county jail awaiting trial. However, he was acquitted of any charges as he dumped their bodies in the nearby river and investigators could not find them.
Oh, shit. No body, no crime, I guess.
Without any physical evidence tying him to the crimes, Matheny went free. He resumed his original quest of seeking out his missing wife and child, but this time something was different. Though he had spent a year and a half awaiting his trial, jail time had clearly done nothing to slow Joe Matheny down. Shortly after being released, Matheny murdered two sex workers who had failed to provide him with information on his missing girlfriend. This time, however, he had a better idea for disposing of their bodies. Instead of tossing them in the river, Matheny brought the bodies home. There, he dismembered them and stored the meatiest parts of them in Tupperware containers. What didn't fit in his freezer, he buried in a truck lot owned by the pallet company he worked for. It seemed that he was now murdering people for sport as much as for revenge. Over the next several weekends, he mixed the sex workers' flesh with beef and pork, forming into neat little patties.
Golly.
He would then sell these meat patties out of a small barbecue stand he opened on the side of the road. So he's, I wonder if he had like a special name for these hamburgers.
Right.
So body during, burgers. Body burgers. During this time, his customers would all consume bits of human flesh. They became unwitting hiding spots for the bodies of Matheny's victims. Whenever he needed more special meat, Matheny would simply venture out and find another sex worker or a vagabond. He later told police that he received no complaints on the meat tasting funny. In fact, no one seemed to notice that the burgers had a little something extra in them.
Oh my gosh. Ugh.
The human body tastes very similar to pork, he said. If you mix it together, no one can tell the difference. So the next time you're riding down the road and you happen to see an open pit beef stand, you might want to think twice before you go.
Yeah, I would think so. So basically, what year was this?
So Joe Matheny was finally caught in 1996.
Wow.
When a would-be victim named Rita Kemper managed to escape his clutches and ran straight to the police.
Wow.
During his interrogation, Matheny willingly offered up a confession. He gave details about each of his murders, even mentioning the murder of the fisherman from several years before. According to his confession, he killed 10 people, and authorities say there's no reason to believe he would have stopped there had he not been captured. Eventually, a jury found him guilty and sentenced Matheny to death. However, a judge overturned the verdict in 2000 and changed it to two consecutive life sentences.
Oh, wow.
The words, "I'm sorry," will never come out, for that would be a lie. I am more than willing to give up my life for what I have done. To have God judge me and send me to hell for eternity, I just enjoyed it, he said at his trial.
Golly, that makes it even worse.
The only thing I feel bad about in any of this is I didn't get to murder the two motherfuckers I was really after, he said. And that's my ex-old lady and the bastard she got hooked up with.
Golly.
In 2017, guards found Matheny unresponsive in his cell at the Western Correctional Institution in Cumberland at about 3 p.m. They pronounced him dead shortly after, thus ending his horrifying saga.
I wonder what his girlfriend thinks.
I don't know. He was a big, like, fat dude, too. He's like just...
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think that guy got away with just, like, killing people. Well, he's not quick looking.
No, well, it's not that. It's just he's nasty.
Yeah. I mean,
he was also, like, killing sex workers, so he was tricking them with, like, money, I'm sure.
Oh, very true.
Saying, he probably didn't even have any. So, this is not a horror movie, but it gave me Fried Green Tomatoes vibes. Where they kill the abusive guy and then barbecue him.
Yes, I love it.
And that's disgusting to think. Like, those people were buying those hamburgers, like, completely, like, or pork sandwiches,
right,
for all they know. They just thought it was barbecue. You put barbecue sauce on it, anything tastes good.
If you were in the Baltimore area in the early 90s and you ever stopped and got a little burger off the side of the road stand or a pork sandwich.
I imagine anyone that probably did that probably completely like blacks that out of their mind.
Oh, yeah. But that's something you pull out at a party when you get real drunk.
But again, like we said before, these are all real stories.
Yeah.
And that's what's disturbing the most to me about it.
That's definitely the kind of thing that'll keep me up at night.
Like, a story like this, or the story about Catherine Knight, like, both of those would be hard stories to, like, actually make into movies. You know, like, pitch that movie idea and people would be like, oh, that's disgusting sounding.
Right.
It's too disturbing to be a horror movie.
Right.
Really.
Catherine Ida could definitely maybe see, but yeah, the other one, that's just terrifying.
Joe's Burger Meat.
Yeah, that's awful.
I mean, he's like laughing his ass off too every time he was selling one. Oh, yeah, I mean, it's special too.
Did he just die of like natural causes because he was like 500 pounds?
Yeah, they just found him unresponsive in his jail cell.
Yeah, so he probably just had like a heart attack or something.
Right, yeah, I'm assuming so.
Yeah, what a creep.
Yeah.
It's like him and Catherine Knight should get together.
Well, he's dead.
Oh, yeah, true.
It's also like, I hate when those guys die kind of shortly after. I guess he didn't. I mean, he was in jail from like 96 to until 2017. So,
just 11 years in prison?
No.
Oh, 21 years.
Yeah, 21 years.
My math.
So he did spend 21 years.
That's what happens when you think the 90s was still 10 years ago.
Oh, that's true. It's disturbing. You know, being from Memphis, I love, like, barbecue. And those stories just about ruin it for me, maybe.
Oh,
it
no.
It kind of sketches me out.
It's bad, but you, as a Memphian, you could have your card revoked for that.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely... hang on now.
I still love barbecue. But no, it
in
is.
In the back of my mind, I'm going to think, why does this one taste so good?
Well, next time we're at Central Barbecue, just don't say that out loud to me, please.
Or Memphis Barbecue.
Oh, yeah. We really like barbecue.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's what I'm saying. I can't hear these stories about this guy chopping someone up and serving it as a barbecue sandwich. And then probably staring at you, how you like it.
It's good, ain't it?
Yeah, it's the sauce. I put brown sugar in it and cinnamon.
Yeah, that's... I just am trying to block it out of my memory already.
Yeah.
I just don't want to think about that.
I want to talk about, too, when we went to Wicked Ways. I just wanted that VR.
What did you think about?
So we had this VR experience, and basically we sat in this room. It was just the two of us, across from each other, in wheelchairs.
Yeah.
And kind of like a caged...
It was like a prison cell, almost, yeah. But you were sitting inside a wheelchair, facing each other.
Yeah. Then they put the VR goggles on us, right? And then you're like in this insane asylum. So there's a person in there with you. And they're doing effects to you the whole time this is happening. I did not expect that.
Oh, right. Like, you're going through spider webs, and she's, like, brushing your hands with feathers.
It's, like, so crazy.
Yeah, it is.
You feel it, you're like, oh, my God.
It really...
Or when the crazy witch, like, stabs you, and they blow that air into your stomach.
That was crazy.
Oh, my God. I was like, what? Wait a minute.
It was real. They described it as a torture experience or whatever.
Well, that's the
which
first...
I was scared, but it was really cool.
That was the first time I've experienced that, and I'm looking forward to the future of like VR stuff. You know what I mean?
I was telling you this the other night whenever we were doing that. The only thing I don't like about VR, it is cool and fun for a minute for me.
Yeah.
But I don't like being that desensitized to the real world. Like, it bothers me not being able to see what's going on around me.
I feel like it's dangerous and addictive.
Yes, I can see like those movies where they're like addicted to being in the VR.
Yeah, like they can't not be in it.
Yeah, and that...
Think about how addicted we are to, like, Facebook and social media now.
Right.
Just think about if it was interact... Like, you played The Sims social media.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
That would be fucking crazy.
How fun House Flipper would be in VR. Because in House Flipper, you really are, like, doing some of the work.
For sure.
Whereas on Sims, I can put easily 100 windows and delete them and, you know, anyway...
All right.
I digress. But
yeah, look, fuck around and let an Oculus be on sale this Black Friday.
I'm hooked.
I love, especially with the horror stuff coming out, dude. Horror games really are like the new frontier for horror. Like, the movies have gotten a little stale. You know, like, there's no real great horror TV series.
Mm.
You know, there's what
American Horror Story
is it? I don't know. A lot of people,
there's that show Sinner with Jessica Alba.
I'm not a fan of American Horror Story.
We've been enjoying the American Horror Stories Those have been pretty good.
Anthology ones? Yeah. I've liked those a lot more than I've liked the series.
There's been, we both really liked Murder House.
It was okay.
But I like loved the actors Coven.
More than I like the
show. I agree. I do feel the same way a little bit. I like the actors more than I like the show.
Yeah.
But they do their media the person. Terrible. They're like, marketing.
Yeah.
They do a every fantastic season, you're
like, job. Oh my God, I gotta watch that shit. This.
And then you watch it. And you're
like, what the
fuck? Exactly. You're like, all right, I'm kind of bored with this.
What the hell, dude?
But I start thinking about all the American Horror Story seasons, and I'm like, oh, wait, I've seen like a lot of them.
But still, I'm back to what I was saying about the games.
Like, oh, yeah. Like, they're. You're right. Like, it is. The future, it's kind of like.
That's the future of like horror, right?
I mean, it's not like core video games are new.
No, not at all. But I'm saying like
the VR aspect of it.
Yeah, just the groundbreaking technology, like the future of, you know, of where it's going, I think. Like horror video games are, you know, the scariest thing that's out there. Like it's way scarier than anything else that you're going to do.
Right.
You know, unless you want to go to like one of those extreme haunted houses.
Hell no. If you like extreme haunted houses, email us at hauntedhazepodcast@gmail.com. And I just want to know like why you're interested in doing that.
Absolutely. There's one in Tennessee, I think. In Lexington?
Maybe? Yes, I think there is one in Tennessee for sure. Yeah. But it took me 18 years to be able to go into a normal ass haunted house where they don't touch you.
Yeah, I'm not good with like claustrophobia stuff, so I can't
What gets me is they ask you, what are you most afraid of, and you say claustrophobia, first thing they're gonna do is lock you in like a coffin or something, you like, know what I mean,
bro,
like
I can't do this.
You should never go to one of those either.
I'm not gonna pay someone money to be mean to me. I did that one time at Dick's. I happened again.
Dick's Last Resort, the restaurant. Look, we went to Dick's Last Resort, and if you don't know what that is, it's a restaurant where like their whole gimmick is the waiters are rude as hell, and they make fun of you, and they put these stupid hats on you where they make like some stupid joke. Well, that's not the place to go when you're hangry. And you just got out of like a 7-hour car ride, and that's where y'all are going to go eat.
Hey,
and the waiter is rude to Josh, and Josh is rude back to the waiter, and the waiter did not know what to expect. He did. Yeah. He was like, this has never happened before.
We just had a Rudolph.
And I was like, all right, we're never going to go back to Dick's Last Resort.
Yeah, no,
it was not for me.
Not for me.
You're right. That is the only other time.
Even the food was just kind of like.
Well, that's the only time I have ever paid for someone to be mean.
Bought in the frozen foods section.
Yeah, well, if you want to pay people to be mean. If you work
there, I don't understand.
Like, you must really be an asshole. You're just like, you know what I want to do today? Go to work and be mean.
Yeah, well, maybe they're probably the nicest people outside of that because they, like, you know,
get to get all that out. Because
how far can you really go with that?
Right. I don't know how far. I don't think you can take it that far, but like.
Like they're actually spitting in your food and shit.
No.
They're trying to fist fight you. Yeah, have another beer. I'm going to fuck your wife.
I don't think they could take it like that.
Say it again. Give me a Bud Light.
I liked your little thought process you just had, though. Maybe they're actually super nice because they don't have to be super friendly to the patrons. Yeah.
They get all their, you know.
Anybody who's ever, you know, that's probably what it is. Anybody who's ever worked at a restaurant is like, fuck yeah, I would work at Dick's. Like,
oh yeah. I would love to tell customers to go fuck themselves.
I don't know if they're allowed to do that, but.
I don't know. How far can it go, yeah?
Yeah, it's. All right, if you work at Dick's Last Resort, email us.
Yeah, I'm surprised that place hasn't got canceled, to be honest with you.
Well, I think that you're signing an agreement just by sitting down at the restaurant.
Yeah, but they don't make it super clear, other than they call it Dick's. You know what I mean? But I don't know.
Yeah, but like a naive person might not even really think twice about that.
I don't know. Who knows?
Anyway, we have a lot of questions.
How do we get so sidetracked?
Dicks,
and we don't play
and,
our favorite game.
Oh, yeah.
Versus.
It's that time. All right.
So, as always, we take one scary thing and we put it up against another scary thing and we decide which one is scarier.
Let's see
what it is.
Hatchet versus Pinhead.
Perfect.
Yes, I.
Hatchet versus Pinhead.
Yeah.
Damn, scarier.
Mm. I'm gonna have to just off the cuff. I'm going Hatchet immediately.
I love Hatchet. I'm going Hatchet too.
It's just visually everything about it.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. Like, he's a great successor to, like, the Jason.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Trope character or whatever.
Absolutely.
But I will say Pinhead is scary. I don't want to just brush over Pinhead, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's like some type of demon from an alternate dimension.
Right. And, right? I mean, from just visually, he's scary too.
Yeah. His whole ordeal is want to cause you pain. When I was a kid, I didn't understand how they made his whole eye black.
I still don't. Contacts. Well, it's
contacts.
They make contacts that go over your entire eye like that? Well, just your iris or whatever?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Wes Borland's worn them.
Oh, well, I've seen that before.
It's crazy.
I have seen Wes Borland specifically have those, and anytime I've seen somebody like that, I'm like, how do they do that?
Well, some people get that tattoo.
That's stupid.
That's wild to me.
Crazy. I'm judging.
Your eye tattoo? Yeah.
I'm judging.
What kind of drugs is that?
Back to Pinhead.
Pinhead would make you take them drugs and get that done forever, eternity.
Oh, God. With no drugs.
Yes. Could you see that? You would become a Cenobite, and you just have these two fucking, like, tattoo guns stuck in your eyes, so you wouldn't actually have eyes.
That's awful.
Oh, God.
That's, okay. At least Victor just kills you. All right, you're really kind of making me turn towards Pinhead because a lifetime of eternal pain.
Yeah, that's all he's about. He wants to cause you pain.
I think that's worse than Hatchet.
They get off on pain. I know.
Hatchet, at least he just kills you.
The winds have changed.
It really has. Because you make a good point there.
His first thing he does, too, as soon as he comes out in every movie, is with those fucking chains.
Yeah.
And he grabs your ass, and then, like, they start pulling you apart or some shit.
I'm changing my answer. I'm going Pinhead. That's my final answer. I'm locking it in, Regis.
Is that the final answer? For $1 million, it is Pinhead.
Yeah, that's me right now.
I know. We still need to watch the new Pinhead movie.
Oh, yeah. We have not watched that.
Oh, or Hellraiser.
We'll add it on our list. It's on our list, but we'll make it sooner rather than later.
Look, we're going to continue this into November. You know this,
right? Oh, right.
We're
going
to stop watching horror movies. Then there's holiday horror movies.
Oh, that I've actually gotten into holiday horror movies.
Look, let's split this week because I just want to give Hatchet some love.
Okay.
Really, because if you've never watched the Hatchet series,
you definitely should.
Do it.
Yes. And we love New Orleans, so Hatchet just goes perfect.
A lot of it's based in New Orleans, yeah right? That's just a bonus.
So it's just really...
And Kane Hodder, he's the killer.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the only other person to... is the only person to play Jason Voorhees more than once.
Yeah, we just recently had that. So before we go, one final terrifying question.
Ooh, one final terrifying
What question. Is the name of the place where Ash works at the end of the theatrical release of Army of Darkness?
Shop Smart. Shop S Smart.
God dang it. I keep trying to... Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah. But I keep trying to pick questions that I think, like, I know you love Evil Dead... But
it's too
it's like the name of the place he works. You know what I mean? I'm like, maybe like I've seen Evil Dead and I don't remember that.
Well, also I'm just a big horror fan, right?
So right.
That's an easy one. A lot of horror fans would have got that one.
Okay. To be fair. You know what?
A lot of horror fans will have gotten a lot of these questions I've been asked, but you just you randomly pick one question.
I do.
I don't blame you for it. So.
Well, no, sometimes I put back if I know the answer. I put it back pretty much.
Oh, okay.
Because
inside baseball there, huh?
Yeah, because I'm trying to stump you.
Yeah, you're trying to get me.
So sometimes I'll put it back and get a harder one.
By the
so really, I'm admitting to everybody that I know nothing about.
So each week, the winner of Versus is what will kill me if I lose.
Oh, so yeah.
But I got away. Away from Hatchet and Pinhead this week, so I'm good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm going away from a lot of killers.
Hell yeah, brother.
It's going to be something stupid like Chucky. Like we'll have a versus where we're like, yeah, Chucky versus like the banana.
Go
Cujo. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
Or Chucky versus Gage from Pet Sematary.
Oh, that's a good. That's a good one. I like Chucky versus Cujo though. That's a good one too.
What? No, I like. What if they actually faced off?
Chucky and Cujo?
Yeah, Cujo would fuck.
Cujo would fuck Chucky up, for sure. Yeah. All right, bonus verses this week.
There you go. Hey, look, you got a little behind the scenes there where how we come up with verses. Look, help us out. Please send them our way.
Yeah, if you send have any verses,
yeah, you can always give us suggestions. And always follow us on our social medias, right?
Oh, yeah. And also, I just wanted to remind everybody about our Etsy shop, Hippy Haze.
Yes.
You can find us on Facebook, Etsy, Instagram, all of that at Hippy Haze. We have tie-dye t-shirts, custom stash boxes, all kinds of like just little cute random gifts and art and paintings.
Some of my paintings, you know, are a lot of horror themed.
Oh yeah, true. Themed.
So
very true.
Definitely check it out. Like, we're always interested to customize something for you too. So yeah. Check out Hippy Haze.
And I know that it's not even Halloween yet, but you know what's around the corner, and it's time to go ahead and start shopping.
Well, to be,
yeah.
Don't even say it.
Yeah, you. All right, we'll Krampus. Pretend that Josh didn't let me buy 10 Christmas ornaments last weekend.
No, that's going to cut out. Krampus is going to get you for being that bad.
All right. Well, I think that does it for this week.
All right. That's it?
That's it.
All right, guys. Well, I guess that's it. Time's up. Peace out.
Peace out.
Stay on it.